All right. Let's turn this morning to Galatians 1, Romans 1 as well. Galatians chapter 1. And Romans chapter 1. Things in proper order here. Wouldn't do to get point 20 before point 1, would it? Galatians chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. And let's read Romans 1 first, if we could. Romans chapter 1, verse 15, you're very familiar with this. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now I'm going to read Galatians 1, 6 here, which says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that calleth you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let's pray. Now, Father, I thank you this morning for your goodness to us. And Lord, we come to you this morning, Father, knowing these passages in our hearts. We pray you'd help us to take what's in these passages and apply them directly. And Father, we are glad for God that we have. We're certainly glad for the Savior that we have. We pray you might deepen that appreciation here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I remind you that in Romans chapter 1, verse 15 there, Paul begins by saying, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you. Why is he ready? Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, right? Now, Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The Bible says that if you've got the gospel, you need to preach it, right? Preach the gospel to every creature. So if you've got a gospel that will change somebody's life, that you believe will change somebody's life, it is your obligation to preach it, even intrusively, right? Now that there certainly are other gospels. Galatians 1 shows that. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. There is another. In fact, there's more than one other. That other gospel is a perverted gospel, verse 7. And preaching that gospel will get you cursed, right? But those gospels are preached. Boy, are there other gospels preached. There's the gospel of socialism, the gospel of sodomy, the gospel of evolution, the gospel of science, the gospel of psychology. We could just go on and on, right? But Paul said back in Romans 1, said something back there that not an awful lot of Christians can really even say. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. My question for you is, where in the world do shame and the gospel of Christ fit together? I mean, I have here a Savior that came to this world to save sinners. And you know, some people, I suppose, think that Christ might have failed in his journey, that he might have failed somehow in what he was trying to accomplish. Whatever else is true, I'll tell you what, it says something that my Savior came for me, even if he didn't succeed, right? Thing is, he did succeed. Bible says that he died for my sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, rose again the third day, and I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be ashamed in. I mean, he defeated sin, death and hell for me, defeated the devil for me in his own backyard. I'm not sure where shame is supposed to fit into that, right? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I read in the Word of God that by the gospel of Christ, Christ turned my eyes from darkness to light, from Satan unto God. I am told that I am a new creature in Jesus Christ, and that I got a brand new start, that all my sins are redeemed and gone. I am furthermore told that He went back to heaven, where He presently is busy building me a mansion. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be ashamed of, right? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. On top of it, any second now, we are due for the carnival ride of our lives, brother. I mean, you've already gotten the ticket, and I don't know when it's going to start, but any time now, I just do not know what I'm supposed to be ashamed of. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What's to be ashamed of? But some folks are indeed ashamed. And, you know, we've been given the finest in all categories. We have a ever-living God, an ever-living Savior, an everlasting gospel that gives us everlasting life. I'm just not really sure what we're supposed to be ashamed of, right? Now, that brings me to these other Gospels, which there is something to be ashamed of. I was in University of Texas in Arlington early in my college career. I'm talking college here, not Bible college. Must have been 81 or 82. I was a couple of years deep in college. And I remember that was a particular time in my life when I was backslidden and so on. So I had no real spiritual inclinations. But during that year, for several weeks there at a time, the Hare Krishnas showed up on campus. I guess they were given permission there to proselyte on campus along the mallway there. So for about 2 weeks, we had these little guys in peach-colored sheets with these little tassels in their hair. This, you know, they're bald except for this tassel on top, this little ponytail thing. And I remember sitting around thinking, boy, I sure hope I don't become a Hare Krishna. I do not look good in tassels. I tried a pink sheet once, it just doesn't go with my coloring. I am so glad that I'm not a Hare Krishna. Amen? I am glad. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I would be ashamed if I were a Hare Krishna. I really, really would. You know, there's lots of things I've had to fight off in my life. I will tell you honestly, there have been times in my Christian life that I have felt a certain embarrassment, a certain reserve about going out telling somebody or preaching on the street. I remember more than once being scared. I remember more than once kicking myself for being a coward. But I'll tell you this right now, folks, there is nothing shameful in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to preach you a message this morning called, I'd Be Ashamed. And I want you to know up front, this is not a message for the faint-hearted. If you are eco-friendly and green and diversity-minded, this may not be a message for you. I'll just tell you that. I want to preach on, I'd be ashamed. You may not be happy if you like a little social in your gospel. You may not be real happy this morning. I want to preach on, I'd be ashamed. And first of all, I'd be ashamed of the Save the Earth gospel. I'm including in the Save the Earth gospel, the Save the Funny Animal, the Fuzzy Animals gospel as well, and the Save the Trees gospel as well. I'd be ashamed of the Save the Earth gospel. Isaiah 58:1 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, right? So I know since this stroke thing, haven't been able to get on the street really for a while, and I will say this, I do, after I get my foot in the water, enjoy standing on a street with people all around and lifting up the voice. I mean, seriously, folks, it's something about saying, thus saith the Lord. The Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You can preach that with a loud, lifted up voice of authority, right? Now, this other gospel, not so sure about. I'm not sure what tone of voice to use. Save the earth. Support corn subsidies. Build more windmills. You know, it sounds like it ought to have a whining tone in that voice in there, you know. Save the whales, please. Save the earth and the trees. It's just not the same. It's just not the same at all. I was, I'd heard about this some time back. I had to send Kevin on a little journey here earlier this morning and during service, but I'd read where Sheryl Crow, the pop singer, had been on board for limiting the use of toilet paper to one sheet for every person per time. I'm just thinking, boy, that'll preach. One sheet only. Only one sheet. Brother, I would be ashamed, right? I would be ashamed. Then downtown a couple times, the PETA people have been down there. The People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And they've been down there trying to throw ketchup on folks that had leather belts on and leather shoes and so on. I'm sitting there thinking, what in the world would it be like to stand on the street with a message that says, save all the cute, funny, fuzzy animals. All the ugly ones can die. I'd be ashamed. I struggle sometimes with preaching. I work hard for sermons. And there have been times that I have labored to find the right sermon for the right day. Amen? I mean, if you've ever done that, you know it's true. I'm sitting there thinking, man, I am so glad I don't have to find a sermon on living without leather. How to cook vegan. You know, no logging, no oil drilling, and by the way, poodles are people too. I just don't know how that would go. I'm having trouble with it. I would be ashamed. I would be ashamed to stand on my own two back feet, man to man or man to crowd, and have to stand and say, save the earth, save the animals. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed. I'm so glad that I do not have to be called to preach a gospel that is a waste. Why would I want to save the earth when God's going to burn the thing anyway? Now look, I'm not really for piling up nuclear waste just, you know, arbitrarily here or there. Let's not dump sewage in the rivers. I agree with that. And most people do. But I'll tell you, folks, I am not trying to save this earth. I don't recycle. I burn stuff. Cans, plastic, everything. I burn it. I would be ashamed. I'd be ashamed to preach that gospel. I am glad that God gave me a gospel, and He's not going to leave me hanging. If I preached, save the earth, God's going to burn the earth. Where does that leave me? Looking like an idiot, right? I'd be ashamed. Now, that's not the only gospel I'd be ashamed of. I'd be ashamed of the evolution gospel. I really would be ashamed of the evolution gospel. Here you look in the world and you see this design. Most people understand that design requires a designer. But that is not the case with one of the smartest men in the world, Richard Dawkins. Let me give you a quote here. Dawkins is the atheistic author of The Blind Watchmaker and claims there is no evidence for intelligent design in nature. He ridicules the argument from design, claiming that design in the world, though apparent, is not real. It's there, but that's not real. That's what he believes. That's what he believes. I'd have to stand up and argue that nobody made this thing. Stand up on a street corner and say, you are one big arbitrary statistical mistake. There is no reason for anything. Stand up at a funeral and say, there is no reason for this death. This was all completely arbitrary. Imagine having to stand and comfort a grieving widow or widower over that and say, there is no reason, there is no plan, there is no nothing. This was just the way things go. Right? I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed to have to preach that one time there was this huge explosion, and out of this huge explosion came this order. Now, I'm with Brother Gip. I've blown up lots of things in my life. Nothing has ever come together out of that explosion. It's always blown apart, right? I would be ashamed to actually stand on my back two legs and pretend to intelligently discuss how things came together out of an explosion. Explain a butterfly wing in an explosion to me. Just explain it. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed that there is an existence with no reason whatsoever. Let me read you a few more here. You might be interested in some of Mr. Dawkins' wisdom. He says this, the essence of life is statistical improbability on a colossal scale. Now, isn't that a comfort for a grieving widow? One of the things that is wrong with religion is that it teaches us to be satisfied with answers which are not really answers at all. I don't know. I seem to have more than he does, right? I am against religion because it teaches us to be satisfied with not understanding the world. Well, yeah, as if he does. And plus, I would claim to have some understanding that he does not have, right? This is the guy, by the way, who said one time, I heard him, in fact, I saw it the other day on YouTube as well, but I can't remember the guy's name. What's the guy's name that, the Jewish guy's name that interviewed Dawkins? Ben Stein. Ben Stein was actually asking Dawkins about the original event that got creation or the universe started, and he would not answer. And when he was asked about intelligent design, this is what he answered. He said that it's possible that a life form evolved in some other galaxy and then came and seeded our planet with life. In other words, the UFOs brought us here. Now, this guy doesn't believe in my God, but he does believe that UFOs seeded us here. Seriously, folks, I mean, come on. Here is another one of the smartest men in the world, Stephen Hawking. He says, because there is a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. Spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing, why the universe exists, why we exist. I just want to say, I'd be ashamed. I would be ashamed. Let me stand up on a corner and say, Darwin spoke survival of the fittest. Go kill each other. What would be more consistent with survival of the fittest than that we should kill each other, right? After all, I'm more fit than you, I think. But if you kill me, then you're fitter than me. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed. I want to say furthermore, I'd be ashamed of the humanistic and... no way, I have to group a bunch of these things together or we'll never end this today. But this humanistic gospel and the social revolution gospel. Now, I don't know about you, but I imagine myself down at the state fair saying, you have to love yourself more. You have to pay more attention to yourself. Yeah. I suddenly feel like a little short black woman named Oprah. I'd be ashamed, folks. I would be ashamed. Do it for yourself. It's not your fault. It's your mom's fault. It's your dad's fault. It's your school's fault. It's the government's fault, but it's never your fault. It's genetics' fault. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed. I would hide my head in absolute shame. The sodomite agenda. It's okay to be gay, but I'm not. Right? I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed. I'd rather be in a pink sheet and a tassel than to stand up and say, it's okay to be gay. It's not okay to be gay. And I would be ashamed. You know, Marx taught that if you put his stuff into proper usage and engineering in society, that you could create a workers' paradise. You know, that's what Cuba has. A worker's paradise. I can go down there and just get in their society and make cigars all day, go home and eat my black bread and black beans, and life would just be paradise. It's a worker's paradise. Russia had a worker's paradise. Did you know that? I mean, there are lots of folks, places in this world where they had a workman's paradise. Communist countries. I'd be ashamed to stand up and say, you can have a workman's paradise. Give the government all your money and trust them. They'll give it all back as you need it. It will be paradise where you live in your country. I'd be ashamed. Now, this is really shameful. There is something out there, ladies, you know as feminism, correct? And a lot of times through the years, feminism has been preached as one of those societal things that needs to be changed. It's been a gospel for a long time. Here's some things stated. Grace Atkinson said, feminism is the theory, lesbianism is the practice. How about this statement? Feminist Catherine McKinnon has admitted herself, feminism, socialism, and communism are one and the same. The socialist communist government is the goal of feminism. Dr. Virginia Mollenkott, who, by the way, had a part in the translation of the New International Version, seriously, Mollenkott, professor of English at New Jersey's William Patterson College, she's actually promoted in some evangelical churches, has admitted to being a lesbian and is now proposing the shocking and bewildering claim that Jesus Christ was really a woman. Now, here's the explanation. Jesus was born in parthenogenesis. Now, maybe you're not up on your biology, so I looked up parthenogenesis. And parthenogenesis is this. It is a form of asexual reproduction found in some female insects and other things, where growth and development of embryos occurs without fertilization by the male. So this is the lady's statement. Jesus was born in parthenogenesis, that parthenogenic births are always female, and that in some cases, therefore, he would be willing to refer to Jesus as she up until the last minute of sex reversal in the womb, in which case, Jesus remains chromosomally female. Now, folks, that is not only disgusting. I'd be ashamed. Would you not be ashamed of such a thing, of being given the commission to go out and spread the word, Jesus is a girl? What a shameful, disgraceful, blasphemous bunch of nonsense. That comes out of feminism, ladies and gentlemen. So I want to say that I am just glad to have a gospel that does not leave folks down in the pit, down in the sewage. If they're gay, they get to stay gay. If they're this, they get to stay this. I have a gospel that takes you out of the pit and transforms you into what God wants you to be. I am not ashamed of that gospel. I would be ashamed of these other ones, and with good reason. I would be ashamed. How about the Gospels of the heathen, the Gospels of the pagans? I've already mentioned Krishna, Hare Krishnaism. I have a book at home called Krishna Consciousness, where you're supposed to walk around all day and be Krishna conscious. I have another book that says, chant and be happy. Sell your legs crossed in a pink sheet with a tassel in your hair and chant, and that's going to be a fulfilling thing. I'd be ashamed. How about Hinduism, folks? There, India has recently surpassed China in population. That means there are more Hindus maybe in the world than anything else. How about Hinduism? How about reincarnation? Wouldn't you be a little ashamed to stand up on a street corner and preach the gospel of reincarnation? I mean, seriously, you could be a mollusk in your next life. What good news that is, amen? How about the 325 million gods of Hinduism? Stand up on a street corner and say, good news! The Hindus have 325 million gods. I have a list. Anybody that wants a photocopy, let me know. 325 million gods. How about the message? Stand up and say, no rat poison. That rat could be your grandmother. How about that gospel? I'd be ashamed of that gospel. How about Buddhism? I don't know if you know it or not, but Buddhism is all about being rid of suffering. Sounds like a good thing, right? And in Buddhism, what happens is that you need to understand that all things are interconnected. You know, it's the flow that Yoda kept talking about. All things are interconnected. All things are interdependent. And the suffering in this life comes from clinging. You clinging to things. Presumably things like your wife, you know, your children, all that kind of stuff. So, when they go away, when they die, you suffer. Well, there's something called nirvana. And nirvana is far more than you just becoming one with a doorknob. It's far more than that. No, it's where you reach a state of consciousness where you are no longer clinging. You're letting go and just yielding to the fact that you are temporal and dying and you're going to suffer. That is nirvana. When you do that, you can float in the air and stones lift up off the ground. If you never saw Star Wars, then you probably don't understand that. How would you like to stand up and say all that stuff? All suffering comes from interconnection. I mean, I have a hard time connecting with folks sometimes. You know, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Stand up and say, the reason you suffer is because you're so interconnected. I'd be ashamed. I would be ashamed. How about animism? How about mythology? How about the worship of Zeus and Thor and so on and so forth? Tell you what, folks, if you come from Angle stock or Saxon stock or Norse stock or the Huns or Mongol stock or Germanic stock or Asian stock or African stock, you can thank God that you live here and that you've been exposed to a gospel that keeps you from standing around at night in a leather loincloth, eating a raw leg of lamb, yowling at the gods. You can thank God for that. I am so glad to be a Christian. I am glad to have a Bible. I am glad to have a gospel that's finished by somebody else, not me. And I'd be ashamed of these others. I'd be ashamed to stand up and tell you folks to bring your firstborn daughter and let's go find a volcano so that we can all be well and satisfy our gods. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed. Tell you what, I'd be ashamed of the Islamic gospel. I'd be ashamed of the Islamic gospel. I'd be ashamed of God's prophet. I don't know if you knew too much about Muhammad. Muhammad was a goat herder. He was a goat herder that bilked off of women. He attached himself to women with money and bilked off of them. So, you know, one of the wives, of the 12 wives that Muhammad had, was an 8-year-old girl named Aisha. It's okay. She brought her dollies to the wedding. I have a prophet that is a pedophile here, folks. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed of the Islamic God. Did you know that he was the moon god before, back in paganism? They just brought him forth and picked a god off a shelf of the heathen, put him up and called him Allah instead. But he is the moon god. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed of the nonsense. You know what they believe? They believe there's this oblong temple called the Al-Kaaba down in Mecca. And angels created this temple. And it floated down out of heaven. And Seth worshipped there. And Abraham worshipped there. There's also this black rock there that fell down out of paradise, which if you kiss, perhaps you can go to heaven as well. I'd be ashamed of the nonsense. You know they say that Jesus Christ was born under a palm tree? You know they say that one of the miracles Jesus Christ did was that he touched the udder of a goat, and the udder of that goat never dried up. She just kept giving milk. I can feel the glory bursting in my soul. I'd be ashamed. Did you know that old Muhammad had seizures all the time? Did you know that Muhammad saw Gabriel and that Gabriel had, picture this now, 500 sets of wings? Now, you know what? I have some success in picturing cherubims with four faces. I have some success with picturing a great red dragon in the Bible. I'm having trouble with Gabriel and 500 sets of wings. I tell you what, folks, I'd be ashamed of the nonsense. I'd be ashamed of the nonsense. I'd be ashamed of the hope they give. I don't know about you. I don't know what you think heaven is. But heaven's got to be more than just food and licentiousness. I think most of you know what most Muslim men believe meets them in heaven. I want more from heaven than that. All right? I really, really do. I'd be ashamed of the commission given. I'd be ashamed of what it means, for instance, for women. Did you know that women are entirely subjugated in Islam? And you know what? I mean, I'm not for feminism, but I'm also not for women being used as doormats. Did you know Christianity, ladies, gives you more honor than any other religion in this world? Christianity, Bible Christianity, not Catholic Christianity. It gives you more honor among men than any other gospel in this entire world. I would be ashamed to be associated with Islam. I would be ashamed of the hatred it tells me to harbor in my soul. I would be ashamed of the murder it implores me to go commit. I would be ashamed. I am so glad to have a holy God. I'm glad to have a pure Bible. And I'm glad to have a prophet and a Savior that I don't have to be ashamed of. Jesus Christ is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. If I were a Muslim, I would have to be a shameless, perverse pervert to be unashamed. I would be ashamed. I want to say furthermore that I would be ashamed of the pseudo-Christian Gospels. In other words, there are folks that call themselves Christians that are not. Let me give you just a few. I'll tell you what, I'll start off with a bang, all right? I'd be ashamed of the charismatic gospel. What I mean by that is just this particular nonsense right here. This was written during the height of the Brownsville revival thing down in Pensacola when everybody was running around barking like dogs and acting like idiots. In fact, this was a song written to honor the Holy Spirit. I just laugh like an idiot and bark like a dog. If I don't sober up, I'll likely hop like a frog. I'll crow like a rooster at the break of day because the Holy Ghost is moving and I can't stay away. I'll roar like a lioness who's on the prowl. I'll laugh and shake, maybe hoot like an owl. Since God's holy river started bubbling in me, it spills outside and now it's setting me free. So I'll crunch and I'll dip and I'll dance round and round. The pew was fine, but it's more fun on the ground. So I'll jump like a pogo stick, then fall on the floor, because the Holy Ghost is moving. I just want more. I'd be disgraced. I'd be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. But I would be ashamed of any and all of these. Thank God I wasn't born there. Thank God I don't still practice there. Thank God I'm not still deluded enough to be there. Right? I'd be ashamed. Now, I'd be ashamed of some other pseudo-Christian gospels. First of all, let me talk for a minute about Mormonism. I'd be ashamed. Did you know that the Mormons believe that Jesus Christ was Satan's brother? Did you know that? Did you know that you need more than the Bible if you're going to be a Mormon? You got to have the Book of Mormon. Let me talk to you for a second about old Joe Smith. Boy, would I be ashamed. This guy was born in Palmyra, New York. Now, Joseph Smith's father was Joseph Smith Sr. And the problem with this guy was that he was a wacko. He was a treasure hunter. They say that all of Vermont and part of upstate New York is still filled with pits that Joseph Smith ran around and dug looking for Captain Kidd's treasure. When he didn't find the treasure, he became a counterfeiter. Of course, in time he gave fathered Joseph Smith Jr. And by 1823, Joseph Smith Jr., who also was a treasure hunter, by the way, he had one up on his father. The way he hunted treasure was that he had a peep stone. And he would take this stone, this special magic stone, put it in a hat, put the hat over his face and look in the stone to find out where to dig for treasure. Captain Kidd's treasure. I'm not kidding. This is Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith, by 1823, had become quite the sight around his part of town. And he started talking in those days to a Moroni, or Nephi, depending on who you believe, the Mormon, the angel in the Book of Mormon. And they came along and were telling him some things. And one day they told him where to go discover the golden plates with the Book of Mormon on it. And on the golden plates, he went and found it, went and dug it up and found it. And it was written in Egyptian hieroglyphics. So he had to translate the Egyptian hieroglyphics into English. Now to use this, to be able to do that, the angel Moroni was very thoughtful, because he brought to him, Joseph Smith, the Urim and the Thummim. Remember Deuteronomy and Leviticus? The Urim and the Thummim. Only the Urim and the Thummim were actually specially made magical spectacles, where if he put them on, he could read the Egyptian hieroglyphics and write it in English. You got it? The Urim and Thummim in the Hebrew are magical spectacles. That was Joseph Smith. And finally, Joseph Smith, by 1829, had gotten so far in the Book of Mormon in translating it that heaven could not contain her joy anymore. And God sent John the Baptist himself down to this earth to anoint Joseph Smith and his buddy who was helping him as the Aaronic priesthood. And so when they were anointed, Joseph baptized his buddy. Then his buddy turned around and baptized Joseph, and all was well. I'd be ashamed to stand up. There's no part of the story of the birth and life of Jesus Christ that I would be ashamed to tell anybody anywhere. I'd be ashamed to have to tell that I actually believe this complete goofball. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed of saying that I believe that if I went to the Mormon temple in Salt Lake City and got baptized, that I could be baptized for somebody that's dead. That's what they believe. You know what I'd really be ashamed of? I'd really be ashamed to stand up on a street corner and say, I'm going to heaven. I have on the underwear. I have the right kind of underwear. I'm going to heaven. Did you know that a Mormon believes you have to have on the right kind of underwear, Mormon underwear, to go to heaven? Fruit of the Loom stuff won't do. Hanes is out. It's got to be special Mormon underwear. I'd be ashamed. Now listen, folks, some of you are frowning at me. I'm just here to tell you this morning that I am glad to have something worth preaching. There is more nonsense out there than folks know. Sometimes there is a degree of credibility lent to things that don't deserve any at all. Mormonism is one of those things. I'll tell you something else that's one. Jehovah's Witnesses. Charles Taze Russell was not much better than Joseph Smith. Do you know that Charles Taze Russell tried to sell miracle wheat? It was a financial scam. He taught that this particular kind of wheat would grow seven times as much wheat as the average wheat seed. It was miracle wheat. He was famous for his debauchery. He was famous for his dishonesty. He taught there was no Trinity. He taught there was no hell. The JWs still believe it. They still believe Jesus Christ was a created God, not the Son of God. I want you to know, I'd be ashamed. How do you walk up to somebody's door, knock on the door and say, you want to become a JW? There's no hell. And, you know, you can go be with us too. I'd be ashamed. Come follow Charles Taze Russell with me. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed. The last thing I want to talk about this morning, and I'll let you guys go. Some of you are glowering at me. I'm just telling you. I'm a street preacher. I've preached the gospel for 20-some years. I'd be ashamed to go door-to-door with any of this nonsense. I'd be ashamed to go on the street and meet the public believing this nonsense. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Now look, there's one other thing I want to say. I'd be ashamed of the Catholic gospel. I'm talking about pseudo-Christian, as in false Christian gospels. I'd be ashamed of the Catholic gospel. I'd be ashamed. I would, first of all, be ashamed of the papacy. There is not an office on the face of this earth that has been more debauched. There has been more written on the papacy through the years than you most people care to know. Through 1,000 years of the Dark Ages, the papacy was nothing but a playboy's club and sometimes a playgirl's club. The debauchery that went on there, the murder, the war, the torture, the torment, the lying, the stealing, the defrauding, the sodomy, the adultery is almost unspeakable. I would be ashamed of the papacy. I would be ashamed of any pope who called himself Holy Father. That is the name of God the Father. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed of somebody calling himself the Vicar of Christ and claiming to speak inerrantly ex cathedra as a man. I'd be ashamed. I would be ashamed of the goddess Mary. I believe in the biblical Mary. I believe she was a fine woman. I believe she did the right thing, and I believe that she was probably prayerful. I'm sure she got saved. I'm glad for her. I want you to know, Catholicism believes in a goddess, Mary. They believe in the Queen of Heaven, which, by the way, was somebody else. I would be ashamed of the pantheon of gods and saints that the Catholic Church believes in. I would be ashamed. I'd be ashamed to face my own children in the morning if I were a Catholic. I'd be ashamed. Let me read you something here real quick. With regard to Mary, just real quick. This is on my desk this morning. The St. Stanislaus Kostka Catholic Church in Chicago features an image of Mary on the very Ark of God. She is sitting above the Ark in the place that was occupied by God's presence on the mercy seat of the real Ark. In other words, they have placed Mary in God's place, on their Ark of the Covenant. I would be ashamed. I would be ashamed of the gospel of Catholicism. The worst part of it is the transubstantiation. Folks, I would be ashamed to stand up and preach what they believe, how they believe you get eternal life. You do understand that what they believe is witchcraft. What a Catholic teaches and preaches is nothing better than sorcery. Folks, there's not a Catholic priest in this town that shouldn't just strip off naked, paint his body with ashes, and put a bone through his nose and dance around on stage. That is what they believe. Listen, folks, they believe that the gospel is this. You take this bread and you say magic words over it and you break it and it becomes the body of Jesus Christ. And then you take it and you feed it to somebody. He becomes a cannibal at that moment. But for those 20 or 30 minutes that wafer is in his body, he has eternal life. That is the catechism of the Catholic Church. Oh, it's got a lot of bells and whistles. It has a lot of Bible in there for ornamentation. But it's sorcery. It's witchcraft. It's worse than that. It's devil worship. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed and stand in front of a congregation of people and say, "Ooba googa badooba badooba. Now come down here and eat this. Come down here and drink this." I'd be disgraced. I'd be ashamed. I would rather put a gun in my mouth than preach that thing. Right? They teach and preach about limbo. Purgatory. Limbo is a place where a baby goes if he has not been baptized and dies. I would be ashamed to use your children as a tool against you. And say, you better join this Baptist church right here. And by joining this Baptist church, you got to get those kids baptized. If they're not baptized and they die, they're going to limbo. They're going to go, your babies are going to go suffer in hell unless you get them baptized. I'd be ashamed. I'd be disgraced. I'd be ashamed to threaten you with the salvation that's not able to deliver eternal life. You better get right. You better come and join my church. You better listen to this gospel. And even if you do, you're still going to go to hell and suffer for a while until you get purified. Purgatory. I'd be ashamed. I'd be disgraced. I'd be ashamed of the idols. I'd be ashamed of the rosaries. I'd be ashamed of the teraphim. I'd be ashamed of the stations of the cross. I'd be ashamed of having to preach to you works that your little pitiful buying of Girl Scout cookies gets you somewhere. I'd be ashamed. I could not stand here as a man and preach what those people preach. I'd be ashamed of telling you that you should pray for the dead. That if you prayed, gave enough money, and lit the right amount of candles, you might be able to reduce your dead spouse's time in purgatory. You might be able to reduce the suffering of your dead children in purgatory if you just gave me enough money so that I would pray for you and light you more candles. I'd be ashamed. I'd be disgraced. Folks, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Tell you what, somebody comes to you and me, there's something that they can know, I think, or something I know. When I go to a well of water, I draw for them the purest water that I can find. I've not gone and skimmed some nonsense off of some sewer top somewhere. I've not gone to some mud puddle full of tadpoles and cow manure and scooped it up to feed them. I've drawn for them water, pure water, crystal water, from a well of life, from a God that gave me a message. Did not leave anything in that message that I'm ashamed of, or that I have to hide, that I have to put under the... You know, it's kind of funny, isn't it? Mormons don't talk about that underwear much. When's the last time a Mormon came to your house and said, "Hey, look at the underwear. I got it on, man." You know, nobody does that. Why? Because they're ashamed. Why don't they come to your house and say, "You know, we believe in Jesus, but He's not the Son of God. Or He's not God manifest in the flesh." They don't say that. They will cover up and pretend that they mean what you mean when you say it. They're ashamed of where they stand. And they should be ashamed. And I hope they are ashamed. But I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But I would be ashamed of any and all of these others, and a plethora of others that I know about. I am so glad to be a Christian. I am so glad to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ and to have something pure to dispense to somebody. Aren't you? Let's bow our heads over a word of prayer. Father, thank You this morning for Your goodness, Your love to us, and we're glad that You delivered to us this treasure in earthen vessels. And Father, it is a treasure. There is nothing impure. There is nothing unsightly. There is nothing gross or crude or rude or any such thing to be ashamed of in the gospel You've delivered us. We pray You'd give Your Christian people here this morning courage and the wherewithal to go out and spread it. Father, we pray that we might not be deceived in any way by these Gospels of nonsense and baloney. Father, complete falderall. We're asking You to make these things real to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn to number 390. We'll stand. 390. Thank you. dismissed for prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness to us, and we come back to you this morning. Glad for what you've delivered to us. Pray you'd help us to properly appreciate it. And Father, there is nothing to be ashamed of in the gospel of Christ. Pray you'd strengthen us for the day and the evening tonight as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.